So we're going to look briefly at four areas of evidence that show us that, Jesus' death and resurrection actually happened. The first thing to note is that there was no body. Seems simple enough, right, to say if somebody was dead, you would expect to find a body. When Jesus' disciples went to the tomb after 3 days, planning to embalm his body, they found an empty tomb. So that's, that meant any theory that said, you know, well, Jesus was actually dead and in the tomb could be easily refuted. If you ran around saying, Jesus rose from the dead, all somebody had to do was say, come with me. We'll go to the tomb that belongs to the guy that donated his tomb to Jesus. We'll open it up and I will show you his body. And the story would be over. So one piece of evidence we have is that that never happened. There's nothing on record about Jesus' followers claiming that he'd risen from the dead and somebody disproving them on the spot by going to the tomb. It's not in any of the secular historians' work from around that time. They acknowledge that it was claimed Jesus rose from the dead, and they don't ever try to refute that. Others have suggested that maybe Jesus didn't actually die on the cross. It was a terrible ordeal, yes, so he probably, you know, went unconscious or collapsed or swooned, people used to say. Got carried to the tomb and then woken up in the tomb. He was laid down as if he was dead, and then a little while later he woke up, and lo and behold, he wasn't dead, and so he escaped and convinced people he was actually alive again. There's a major problem there. It sounds possible to us, right? But if we actually put ourselves in the shoes of the people who lived at that time, we'd recognize that that was completely impossible. Somebody who had gone through what Jesus went through, and you can see it described in the Bible, he was flogged, he was nailed to a cross, left there for like 6 hours. These were, you know, very primitive execution techniques, but they worked. They were meant not just to kill the person, but to actually kill their spirit and their reputation as well. They were meant to be as brutal as possible. And the person who co-teaches with me Sunday mornings likes to talk in graphic detail about what happens there, but I'm not going to. But Jesus underwent a terrible torture by professional killers. And the idea that he just collapsed, woke up in the tomb, and then walked out in that kind of state, rolled aside a giant stone and convinced people he was actually the resurrected God rather than a man in serious need of medical attention. It's just impossible. He couldn't have done it in the first place, and even if he did, people would recognize what he was, a nearly dead man. And without medicine being what it is today, there's no way he could have recovered from those kinds of wounds. One little piece of medical evidence we have in the Bible that again tells us there's no way he died is that it says, or he didn't die, is that it says in the Bible when he was on the cross, the soldiers needed to speed things up. It was getting towards sundown on a Friday, and by Jewish law, they couldn't do any work from Friday at sundown until Saturday. And so they had to get Jesus down off the cross by then and put in a tomb, because that would be work. And they couldn't do that after Friday at sunset. So the Roman authorities decided to speed things up. And so it's recorded in the Bible, they went and broke the legs of the criminals on either side of Jesus. And what happens when you're on a cross is, you might wonder, how does somebody die on a cross? It's because they can't breathe. When they're suspended on a cross, nailed or tied there, what's happening is they need to use their feet to breathe. They need to push up on their feet. In Jesus' case, which were nailed to the cross, and other cases that were on a little platform or with ropes tied to the cross, you have to push up in order to breathe because you're suspended by your arms, your diaphragm can't do its work normally using its own power. And so what would happen is you would eventually just be exhausted. You had to work so hard to breathe. And that's how people would die. And typically, that would be preceded by what we'd call congestive heart failure today, or pulmonary edema. where the heart would just be working so hard to pump, but not able to do it powerfully enough as you got weaker, that fluid would build up in the heart and start to leak out into the lungs. It's recorded in the Bible that when the soldiers broke the legs of the two guys next to him, which would ensure pretty instantaneous death because they couldn't push up to breathe anymore, they then pierced the side of Jesus. They decided he was too far gone. They didn't need to break his legs. But just as a little test to make sure he was really and truly dead, they would pierce his side. And it says water and blood came out together. That's an indication to us today that he had that fluid in the lungs, showing he was experiencing an irreversible heart condition in those days. That his heart was so backed up that fluid was leaking into the lungs, he would have been having serious trouble breathing. No way he would have recovered with the kind of medical technology and experience they had then. So the idea that Jesus swooned and woke up in the tomb and convinced people he was alive and well, we can throw that one out. We also know that he was killed by professional killers. And they took him down off the cross, and the Bible details how they put him in a tomb, sealed it, and guarded it to make sure nobody would ever steal his body and claim he'd risen from the dead. When the disciples, his followers, did get to the tomb, those guards were gone, the seal was gone, and the body was gone. That tomb was guarded by professional soldiers whose reputation and life was on the line if they lost their charge. And clearly something happened other than a nearly dead man overpowering these crack Roman soldiers. It's also been suggested that the disciples may have stolen his body and started a rumor that he'd risen from the dead. Tomb was guarded and sealed shut. His disciples were not, soldiers. They were fishermen. So they didn't really have the kind of training or strength to overpower Roman guards without anybody noticing, especially. It's also psychologically improbable that they would have done that, because the Bible and other histories both record the way the disciples spread the message of Jesus, and many of them died and suffered for that message. It's not something you do for something you know is a lie. You might do that, you might perpetuate the myth for as long as it benefits you, but once it's going to get you killed, especially when you're dealing with dozens of people, somebody's going to give it up and say, I was just making all this up. I'm sorry, let me live, please. None of them did that. They almost all went to their death for this story. And if they made it up, it's kind of, you have to question why. Now finally, some have suggested that maybe other grave robbers came along and stole the body. John's Gospel, though, tells us something very intriguing. It says the tomb wasn't actually empty. There was no body in the tomb, but there were grave clothes. And here's the thing, grave robbers in that day weren't there to steal the body. We're talking about very primitive embalming techniques. He wasn't mummified or anything like that. He would have been wrapped in linens, a very expensive cloth, and laid there. If grave robbers came along, they got it completely backwards, because they stole the body, which was going to decompose no matter what they did, and they left behind the most expensive thing in the grave, the grave clothes. But John's Gospel records that they were just lying there, empty, almost like they'd been on him when he disappeared. So that kind of throws the grave robber theory out the window, too. If they were grave robbers, they got it wrong, and they took what was of no value whatsoever, a decomposing body. Well, I hope you're finding this material fascinating, trying to figure out some of the proof that we find in the Bible that Jesus actually did rise from the dead. It's quite a fascinating topic, at least I find it that way. Hope you are, too. Got a question for you to think about and hopefully discuss with some friends or neighbors. Why do you think so many people have doubted this story through the years? Why does it persist despite some of those concerns and objections people raise? We've also got a chapter from the Bible for you to read, John chapter 13. And reflect as you're reading, why did Jesus allow himself to be betrayed? Because it certainly seems here like he knew what was coming. Have a great time thinking about that and hopefully discussing, and I'll see you tomorrow.